All right, Proverbs chapter 31. Now, this is interesting. The Bible starts out the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Okay, so these are the words of King Lemuel, but it is basically a repeat, almost, if you will. Notice in verse 2, it almost seems like it's a direct quote from his mother. And so here's a king. Think about this. She raised a son to be a king, and a good king, and a godly king. And so she's been giving him some advice since he was a little boy. And so think about that. His mother was a queen. He's a king. I guess if I was going to name this lesson, I'd call it Kingly Advice from a Queenly Mother. And so here we have a lady that wants to see her son grow up and be what he ought to be, and grow up and be what he should be for God. Grow up and find God's perfect will for his life. You know, she should train him to want to be kingly in all that he does and the way he conducts himself. And so she's giving him some advice here. We'll read down to the first 10 verses. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows. Notice what he says here. She says here to him, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let them drink. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, all that we've just read, and Lord, what it means to us. And Lord, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, Lord, I'm talking to folks, a lot of ladies in here that are mothers, and of course fathers. And Lord, many are grandparents, grandmas, and grandpas. And Lord, I think that these verses will be good instruction and a good reminder to all of us. Young people do not grow up and turn outright by accident. And Lord, there must be effort. The Bible tells us to bring up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Lord, we celebrate moms. We're so thankful for moms. And Lord, I pray, dear God, by the end of this morning, dear God, they'll feel that love and that appreciation from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for those that are, Lord, combating so much in this day and age. Lord, it seems like there's so many bad influences and wrong influences and evil influences that are trying to point our young people in a wrong direction. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that all of us would understand the importance of us training our young people. And I hope that moms will understand and appreciate their treasured and gifted position in the lives of their children and their grandchildren. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to speak up and to not be afraid to give instruction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. Very good. Well, here's a mother that wanted her son to end up being something for the Lord. And so she covers in Proverbs chapter 31, these opening verses, a number of different things that she brings up and tries to give him warning about. And then from verse 10 down to the end of the chapter, I think that she gives him valuable information. We won't cover that as much as far as in detail. But from verse 10, verse 31, she begins to talk to him about the attributes of a virtuous woman. I think it's because she wants her son to know the kind of a young lady that he ought to look for when it comes that time of life. And he's beginning to ponder God's will concerning who he should marry for his life. And so we won't get into a lot of the detail of those verses except to just kind of maybe give it a quick oversight. But I think a lot of times when we go to Proverbs 31, people hear you turn there or ask somebody to turn there, especially on a Mother's Day, they assume, well, Proverbs 31 is, you know, equated with the virtuous woman. But sometimes I feel like these first 9 verses get ignored a little bit. So let's listen to what this mother is talking to her son about. She's wanting him to grow up. She's wanting him to do right. She's wanting him to be what God wants him to be. And so she talks to him about some very specific things. First of all, I believe she started it out by telling him this. Look in verse number 2. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? 3 different questions that all remind him of something very important, this is what it is. Hey, you're my son. My mom and dad used to put it this way. If I were to write down number 1, I put it this way. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. In our morning service, we're going to talk to you about the importance of a good name. And so I won't get into it very deeply here, but you know what? She was saying, you know what? You have a godly heritage. You know what? Think about this. You come from royalty. And by the way, folks, you know what? We're children of the King. Amen. We ought to live different than the world. We ought to act different than the world. And so, you know what? She's saying, hey, don't forget whose son you are. You have a heritage, a godly heritage. Think about this. I think she was also saying, son, you are a part of me. You are a son of promise. You're a son of my vows. You're a king in the making. Boy, I just wish moms and dad would get back to these lofty thoughts when it comes to rearing children. You're a king in the making. You are royalty. You're a child of God. Let's teach our daughters that they are princesses. They're daughters of the King. Well, she's saying this to get his attention. Now, you listen to your mother for a few minutes here. Hey, amen. Many times in the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to not forsake the law of our mother. And folks, listen to me. You know what? A lot of the things that my mother over and over and over, isn't repetition, moms, the key to learning? I mean, I don't think any mom in here ever had a child that you told them something just one time early on and you never had to repeat it. I'm glad my mom was not afraid to repeat certain things over and over and over, even sometimes to my frustration. But you know what? When you get out into real life and you launch out to real life, you know what? And you think that you, come on, a lot of times when we launch out into life in that, you know, late teenage years, early 20 years, sometimes we think we've got it all together and we think we know everything and we think hey, finally I can kind of get out here and I can do, and all of a sudden you realize that life isn't easy. And you know what? I'm so thankful that I launched into those years and I had what my mother had taught me over. Don't give up, moms. Don't give up, moms, over and over and over again. I'm glad I had her words to guide me. I'm glad I many times paused and thought of all the times that she told me as I began to leave the house, okay, got up to where I was 16, had a driver's license, had a job, had a little more freedom, and I'd start to leave the house, and she'd say, Jerry Lee. Now, when they say your middle name, you're supposed to stop, okay? That means she wants your full attention, Jerry Lee. And I'd look at Mom, and she'd say, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And so, folks, let's never forget who we are. If we're born again Christian, the person that we ought to be the most concerned about representing it is our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we carry their names as we go out into the world and as we conduct ourselves every single day. You know, people know that you're church people. People know you're a Christian. You say, well, nobody around here knows that stuff. You haven't lived in a small town very long, apparently. You know, no, they know about who you are. They know where you go. They know where you attend church. They know if you profess to be a Christian. Hey, let's let that guide us in our behavior and how we talk, because our testimony ought to mean something to us. So first of all, come on, think about a mom speaking to her son here. She says, first of all, you remember who you are. Number two, keep yourself morally pure. Keep yourself morally pure. Now, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I'm going to deputize all of you, because we need all hands on deck when it comes to this. Because the world is just presented and is trying to present to our young people a philosophy that is anti-biblical and unscriptural when it comes to morality. And, you know, folks, the world says it doesn't matter. The world says, you know what? This whole idea of getting to the marriage altar as a virgin, that's old-time thinking. That's antiquated. No, that's King James Holy Bible. That's biblical. And you know what? If our young people are going to do that, they're going to have the help of mom and the help of dad. Come on, grandmas and grandpas. You say, preacher, you know, we talked to our I can talk to my grandkids about this. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, have them over to your house, have a good time with them. Spoil them. Come on, we got a right to do that. Spoil them a little bit. But you know, sometimes it's good to sit on the porch and say, listen, young lady, or listen, young man, I want you to listen to grandpa for a few minutes here, and I want you to hear me out. And you know what? You may not think that that means anything, but I'll tell you, I can still remember things that my grandparents taught me. I can remember those moments of serious conversation with my grandpa Ogle, and things that he taught me and things that he warned me against and things that he told me, son, don't cross these lines. And you know, at the time, you may not think that that's having much of an impact, but I'll tell you this, as I entered into my adult years, I will tell you, those words of wisdom came back to me and guided me. And so he says, give not your strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And folks, I think that we underestimate, please hear me out, and I'm not saying this, nobody's got a rewind button on life. I'm not saying this to put anybody on a guilt trip, but we've got to say the right things to a new generation that is going to have to face these things, and we're going to have to help them to understand that there's consequences. The world wants sin without consequence. But there's some things you're never going to change. And God built into this entire, all of his creation, consequences that come along with sinful behavior. And I'm going to have you slip over, because it's good that we're reminded of this, Proverbs chapter 7. I think it's a good chapter to point our young people to and talk to our young people. I suppose when I was youth pastor, about once every year, I think of pretty much once every year I was youth pastor, we'd do a split session, and I'd have my wife talk to the young ladies, and I'd talk to the young men, and I'd take them to Proverbs chapter 7, and I'd give them a little lesson on how to avoid what I called how to avoid the scarlet sin. And if you read Proverbs chapter 7, think about this, look at the first two words. Okay, my son. Again, parents, you've got the primary responsibility in this. I don't understand parents that seem like they're pushing their young ladies and their young men towards immorality. Think about that. By how they allow them to dress, how they encourage them to dress, places they okay or that seem like they're okay for them to go, activities that they're seem to be okay for them to be involved in. Parents, good night. If we're not going to help them in this area, who's going to help them? Amen. And so think about this. Now, he goes on to say down in verse number five, he says this, that they may keep thee. Well, let me back up to four. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flatters, which flattereth with her words. For at the window of her house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Let me tell you, the young people that are the most likely targets to fail in this area of immorality are the simple ones, those that are void of understanding. Now, if our young people, by the time they get into their teenage years, are simple and void of understanding in this matter of biblical morality, parents, that's on us. Grandparents, that's on us. Okay? He's having a heart-to-heart talk with his son right now, and he's given him, he said, let me tell you something I saw with my own eyes, and if you're not careful, what happened to this young man in this story is going to happen to you, son. Okay? And well, preacher, I don't feel comfortable talking to him about some of this. You better get comfortable, because somebody out there is willing to talk to him about it, only they're not going to tell him what the Bible says. Okay? And behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. This is why we teach our young people there's certain places you just need to avoid. There's certain places that have heightened temptation. Okay? I mean, he was in the wrong neighborhood. By the way, what time was he there? Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark nights. Let me tell you something. Back when America had morals, every house had a rule. You go out and play, and by the way, this is back when you could send your kids out, and you have to worry about them being abducted or kidnapped or all that. But when the street lights, how many of you ever heard this? When the street lights come on, you get yourself home, son. Now, why did a smarter, wiser generation say this? Folks, I want you to hear what I'm going to say next. There's nothing after dark for young people to do out there but get in trouble. I mean, if they're not going to a church activity or they're not going to something that's family related where there is good chaperones and a right environment, this whole idea of just letting kids run the streets at night, have we lost our mind? And yet, you know what? Then we're shocked later on with what happens. And notice this, verse 10, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtile of heart. He warns this young man, hey, you can tell a lot by the way a young lady dresses. You can tell a lot about what's in her heart by her outward appearance. Okay? Well, she don't know any better. I'm sorry, I live with a wife. I raised 3 daughters. Let me tell you what every single one of them do last thing before they walk out of the bedroom dressed to go for the day. They got something called a full-length mirror. And you know what they do? They look this way, and they look this way, and they look this way, and they look this way. Don't tell me they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I know. I said, preacher, this is uncomfortable. We need to get back to being a little uncomfortable and talking to our young ladies about something. You know what? The Bible still talks about dressing modestly. Bible still talks about, listen, God has something to say. He has an opinion. He has some commands concerning the way we're supposed to dress. We can either follow the culture and do what they're doing and let them set the dress standard for our Christian young people, or we might get back in our King James Holy Bible and figure some things out here. But also notice this. She's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Okay, so think about that. You know, the Bible says for a woman that a meek and quiet spirit is in God's eyes a great price. Okay, so meek and quiet, that's what God says is a great price. She's loud and stubborn. This is what the world says a woman ought to be in today's culture. It's good for us. And so notice this. Now she is without, now in the streets, lieth in wait at every door. And we need to tell our young men and our young ladies, folks, listen to me. There's strange women out there that would count it a coup, would count it a victory to steal the purity from Christian young men. And there's evil young men out there that are, their goal in life is to do the same to our Christian young ladies. Okay? So she caught him and kissed him, and with an unpundit face said to him, notice right away, before she even talks, she's touching. Before she even says, hey, let me tell you what my name is, she's got her hands on you. You know, listen, again, this is things that we train our young people. If I had a son, I would be saying, listen to me, if you got a young lady that comes up, she's always got to reach out and touch you while she's talking to you, she's sending signals, and son, you better back off and get away from that girl. The same thing, over-friendly guy, well, that's just how he is. No, it's not just how he is, it's what he is. It's not just how he is, it's what he is. And all of a sudden, he can't talk to you without putting hands all over you. And you know what? Hey, there used to be something called personal space. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of protective of my personal space. All right, I think some people need some training in this, all right? You know, if you walk within about 6 inches of me to talk to me, unless, you know, you're leaning over to tell me something in confidence, you've got me a little nervous. And we need to talk to our young ladies about, you know what? You make people respect your personal space. Amen. Young men, you make people respect your personal space, okay? And so, you know, that used to just be good teaching. You know, back when America was moral, back when America was Christian, back when Americans waited till they were married to engage in intimacy, back before everybody was shacking up. Hey, preacher, it's Mother's Day. I know. And moms, dads, we've got a responsibility. And we have got to, this is queenly advice to a kingly son. And you know what? We need moms speaking up on these things. Moms sitting down and talking to her son, talking to her daughter, dads talking to, we need to help these young people, okay? Because they're out there. And verse 14, talk about flirtatious. You talk about saying things that are leading, okay? Have double meaning. Talk about the enticer. Notice what she says. I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Wrong. She's a liar. She was just hanging out on the corner waiting for the next guy to come along and yet try to make him feel like he's special. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. We got to train our young people, folks, because you know what? Words now can get to our teenagers in a way that they couldn't before we had all this technology. And a lot of the predators are using our young people's devices. Come on, their cell phones, and they're using words, and they're getting, listen, they're learning. I mean, I just read an article on this the other day, and law enforcement is begging parents to get involved in this because these kids, and I don't understand it. I do not understand parents that give their kid a cell phone and full access to the internet and no supervision in that. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? And they think they're talking to other children and they're talking to sexual perverts. And these sexual perverts over and over again are talking these kids into sending them pictures and then blackmailing them with these pictures. It's happening, folks. I don't mean, why are you saying this stuff? This is because somebody's got to blow the trumpet. We got to wake up. We've got to protect our young people. This is happening over and over. And I'm not talking about San Francisco, New York City. I'm talking about Jacksonville, Indiana, Linton, Indiana, Duggar, Indiana, Worthington, Indiana. I'm talking about in our community, these predators are after our kids. And so we've got to speak up on this. Notice this verse 9, for the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey, yet taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. In other words, I'm home all alone. Hey, you know what? Teenage girl says to your son, this is the kind of thing you need to talk to him. If you ever have a teenage girl get a hold of you and say, hey, mom and dad's not home, why don't you come by? If she was a decent teenage girl, she wouldn't be saying that. Or a young man reaches out, hey, mom and dad's not here, you want to come hang out? Why? Okay, think about it. With her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox. Now here it's consequences. It's no big deal. It's just the way the society is. Folks, there's consequences I deal with in people's lives every single day with this because you know what? What they did in their youth still carries over into their adulthood. It affects them. You know, think about this. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to where? Hell. And going down to the chambers. This isn't a little thing, an uh-oh, a bump in the road. This is a big deal, with long-term consequences in people's lives. And so, you know what? Let's go back, if you will. We've got a few minutes left. Proverbs 31. I'm not going very deep into this, but you read these eight verses, folks. Think about this. We need to teach these things. How about the third thing she wants to talk to him about? If you want to go back there, look at verse 4 through 7. She starts talking about drinking wine and strong drink. She says it's not for kings. It's not for princes. You say, preacher, why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And then she says this. Some people think, well, this means that it's okay for some people to drink. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. And wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. You know what she's saying to her son? This is not for royalty. This is not for kings. This is not for princesses. This is not for children of God. You know what? Drink is for losers. It's for losers. That's what it's saying here. And let me quickly have you go over to Proverbs chapter 23. I think it's interesting. I think the first one on the list there is talking about somebody that was close to death. And I do understand that there's some substances, drugs. I'm not going to just talk to you about alcohol. Never partake of any substance that alters your mind or affects your judgment. We've got to talk to our kids about the dangers of alcohol, what the Bible says about the dangers of alcohol. We got to talk to our kids about the danger of drugs. You know, folks, I tell this story, and it's hard to tell. Me and my wife pastored in Brazil, Indiana, had a young teenage girl coming Sunday morning only, and mom and dad not coming to church, but she was coming, and all of a sudden, she got up into the 16, 17 year, and you know, still underage, but she was, and she started missing church quite a bit. We kept trying to keep her in church, and then one day she showed up to church and said, can I talk to you afterwards? And listen, I'll give you the short version of the story. But she was invited by a couple of high school girls. Hey, you want to go up to Terre Haute? They're having a party at one of the sorority houses or frat houses up there. You want to go hang out with some college guys? And she went reluctantly, but she went. And you know what? They started serving booze there and trying to get the girls drunk. And by the way, why do you think they're trying to get them drunk? Okay. And the next thing you know, she said, I was pressured into doing some of this. I didn't drink enough to really lose my mind. But finally, I just asked somebody, is there a place I can go to the bathroom? She went upstairs to go to the bathroom, came out of the bathroom, and two guys came out of a bedroom and pulled her in. And by the way, she's sitting in front of me and my wife, bawling her eyes out. You know, our young people better start listening. There's a level of evil that the average Christian kid doesn't even understand out there. Amen. They don't understand it. And by the way, she gets to spend the rest of her life trying to forget the next 20 minutes. Okay? And you know, I want to go to her house, first of all, and get a hold of her mom and dad. You know, both of them working jobs, both of them busy, too busy to spend any time with her, too busy to pay any attention to her. You can't let the streets raise your kids. Yeah, preacher, this is hard. This is real life. This is what I got to deal with all the time. This is real life. And all this whole party life that sounds so wonderful and you know, kids think, you know what, by what they see on TV and the commercials, they think that booze equals a good time. Why don't somebody videotape that and put it on a commercial? Why don't they videotape some guy who wakes up the next morning laying in the middle of his bathroom on the floor covered in his own vomit? Why don't they put that on a billboard somewhere? Proverbs 23, I don't know if I had you turn there or not. Verse 29, woe, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You know, if you don't even get close enough to look at it, I don't know how you're supposed to drink it. By the way, at the last, There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Okay, sin has pleasure for a season. That season's pretty short, by the way. Amen. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. And immorality and booze always go hand in hand. Immorality and booze always goes hand in hand. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now think about that. It makes you do stupid things. Here's a drunk guy, and he's on a ship. And he says, I'm going to go take a nap. Where? I'm going to go out there and lay right in the middle of the ocean. I'm going to take a nap. He that lieth upon the sea. The other guy said, well, that's dumb. You'll drown out there. Why don't you climb the mast, and why don't you take a nap up there on the mast? Both of them, bad idea. But it impairs your judgment. Okay? I'll have to read this. It's kind of funny, but also, I guess, sad. They had a list of the 10 dumbest things drunk men have ever done. Jensen Beach, Florida. Drunk man falls asleep in Taco Bell drive-thru and then tries to use a taco as a form of ID when the police show up. San Diego, California, after a night of drinking, gives the name of the guy, I won't say it, woke up sealed in a 60-foot shipping container on a ship bound for a 2-week trek across the Pacific Ocean, claims he mistook the container for a bed and breakfast. Atlanta, Georgia, a man is found passed out drunk in his front yard by the fire department. He awoke in his front yard as firefighters were trying to save his home that was engulfed in flames. The man jumped up and ran into the burning home and had to be rescued by firefighters. He later told a police officer that he had to try and save his beer. The man sustained second-degree burns over 30% of his body. Clarksville, Tennessee, a man is arrested by police for public intoxication and indecency. 22-year-old man was running through a public park with a machete shouting about a zombie invasion. When questioned, he told the police he was trying to save the world. Over in Zambia, Africa, a drunk safari guide jumps out of his jeep and charges a wild bull elephant. Two American hunters said they were disturbed when their hired guide showed up on the morning intoxicated, but was shocked when later in the morning he charged the wild elephant. The hunters shot the elephant, but not before it brutally killed the safari guide. Yeah, brilliant. Go out and get drunk. Brilliant. London, England, a drunk man wearing clown makeup was arrested after he was spotted dangling a child from a highway overpass. Tallahassee, Florida, a drunk man stole a neighbor's riding lawnmower, then rammed it into the side of a public school bus. He was taken to the hospital, then arrested upon release. Pennsylvania man was arrested after he was found attempting to revive a dead possum along the highway. He apparently had hit the possum while driving, then pulled over and was giving the possum mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Nothing wrong with drinking, though. Nah, come on, you social drinking Christians. You need to find your King James Holy Bible. Minnesota, a man was found asleep in the dryer of a local laundromat. He was intoxicated and told the police he was afraid to go home and confront his wife. So he decided to sleep in the dryer because it was cold outside. Florida, a drunk and angry man walks into Taco Bell. And what is it with Taco Bell? Walks into Taco Bell and orders 10 burritos to go. He then walks into the dining room area and begins hurling the burritos at other patrons. He was arrested for assault with a burrito. Okay, so we got to close it down. You know, folks, all those people I just read about, where's their mama? Where's their dad? By the way, sad thing about it, we might find out that some of them had a good mom and a good dad and good grandparents and taught them right, and they just refused to listen. You know, sad. Let's do our jobs, amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Thank you for what we've heard, what we've learned today, and Lord, I pray what we've been reminded of. Didn't even get a chance to finish all of it. Several other pieces of advice there. Good things for us to learn, good things for us to pass down to a generation of royalty. We're children of the King. Pray, Lord, that we would act in such a way that was a good reflection on you. Above all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.